Latter-day Saint Home Educators is pleased to bring you this audio presentation recorded live during the May 2006 Home Education Conference held at Southern Virginia University.
Thank you so much. Okay, let me first just kind of give an introduction. My name is Michelle Stone, and I have to say before we begin, the title of my presentation is Celestial Education, and so all I can hope is that the Spirit will be here today, because the main method of celestial education is learning and teaching by the Spirit. And so anything that I say, if it resonates with you and you feel a testimony that's true, go home and seek through your own spiritual awareness how to apply it into your life. Okay, we'll go ahead. And I want to start by asking a question. So just clear your mind and think of this. And some of you, I am just a mom too. I've been studying and thinking and pondering about education since my oldest was a baby. So I've been studying it for over 8 years now. And I feel like this year I've found all the way through, I've thought, that's right. But it's not right enough. It's not completely right. And I haven't found completely right. And finally, over this past year, and I do not know why, God always sends things at the worst possible time, but it just seems to be that way. But I'm finally starting to get some answers that I feel are almost completely right, and they just need to be built upon a little bit more. So I'm so excited to have this opportunity to share them in case they will be of value to your families as they have been to mine. Okay, so let's ask this question. If you knew that in not very many years, just in just maybe 10 years or however long, your children and yourself would be among the ones called upon to establish a celestial community, to establish a Zion, where you would that would operate according to celestial laws and principles that you must that your children must gladly obey and abide, so that the Savior could return to rule and reign among them, how would that change the way you're approaching education in your homes? Now, some of you maybe with light years ahead of me, and you're like, exactly, that's what we're doing. For me, that was a really eye-opening question. I found it very interesting that we so often spend so much time preparing our kids for this world, which is a celestial world, when what we are wanting to do is raise a celestial generation. We are raising children who are celestial beings having a telestial experience, and who will spend the vast majority of their eternal lives, hopefully, in a celestial world. So we need. So that changed my focus on education. If you knew in this life that your children would spend most of their time in a celestial environment rather than a telestial one, would that change how you're educating them? Does it take different education to prepare celestial beings? So this question came to me, and I started studying this and read different books. And one of the books that I read that really got me going is a difficult read. It's not well organized nor well written, but it's Teach the Children by Neil Flinders. Have any of you read that one? If you can dig through it, the principles are fabulous. They're so great. But, you know, take it a step at a time because, whoa. Okay. I decided that the way that we would educate our children for a celestial society is the same way we educate, like I said, children who are going to dwell for eternity with Heavenly Father in a celestial kingdom. And so it doesn't really matter if, I personally believe that the prophecies, the calamities foretold by prophets are coming about soon, in the near future, I believe. And I believe that God is pouring down inspiration into the hearts of mothers and fathers. Think of any of you who have felt that spiritual mandate that you needed to do something different for your children's education. Those answers come quick, and they come strong. God is really eager to give us more. And I believe it's time that we start seeking it and preparing. But even if our children do spend most of their lives in this celestial society, it's important that we still educate them celestially, because that's the overall goal. So let's see. Now, it's interesting to me, because as I've been studying this, God has given us so much information on education. So much. It's mind-boggling. It's baffling. And as I've read through, I'm like, oh, my gosh. oh my gosh, why don't we know this? And I think that two things have happened. I think we are seeing a modern day example of ignoring, of setting aside the counsels and teachings of God as a thing of naught because of the traditions of our fathers. I think that that is what we are living right now. And we are using God's teachings on education, which is a hugely important thing. First, we are created, and then we are educated, and then we become like God. That's pretty much the process. God has an opinion on education. He has something to say about it. But we've either ignored what he's said, or we've taken it and applied it only to the most narrow definition of spiritual church learning. And we've kind of neglected the rest, and we go with the tradition of our fathers. I'm hoping that this crowd is with me, and that's not we, but we're trying to get away from that. But that's what most of the people we're surrounded by are doing. So I think that we are living way, way, way below our privileges and below our teachings and below what God would have us do to establish a celestial society where he can return to us. So let's see. We'll go ahead and get started. I have found, as I've studied, I think there are three basic types of education. And there are more than this, but they generally fit into these categories at one point or another. They are defined by their purpose, their methods, and their results. So we'll go ahead and look at them. The first is telestial education. Okay, if I were to ask 99% of the other people who aren't here at this convention, what is the purpose of education? What would the answer be? Get financial, right? Money. They need to get the grades so they can get into the college, so they can get the good jobs, so they can make a lot of money, so they can have a happy life. That's education. That's it in a nutshell. Telestial education is education set up by a telestial society that operates according to telestial beliefs for telestial purposes. And that's basically, I believe, where we're at. Let's see. It is the equivalent. Now, there is some great telestial education out there. There are some great things happening in the schools and some great things happening. The telestial kingdom is a kingdom of glory. It is, however, the equivalent of teaching our children by the light of a star. That's the telestial world. That's what we're living up to when we're doing this. Some of the methods or principles of telestial education, I don't know if I have time to list them, but I'll just say some, and I'm sure you can think of more. But there's pride, popularity, competition, greed, materialism, outward beauty and appearance and fashion, power, worldly honors, forced outward equality we're seeing now, no child left behind. That sounds like somebody's plan to me. There will not be one child left behind. We will force them all. And so rather than each living up to their God-given potential and capacity, it's we're going to slow the fast ones down, we're going to speed the slow ones up, and we're going to have them all be the same. And there will not be one left behind, and we're going to control it. It's very interesting. I think that Helaman 7:21 describes this well. Telestial education, but behold, it is to get gain, to be praised of men, yea, and that ye might get gold and silver, and ye have your heart set upon the riches and the vain things of the world. So it's very easy to pull our kids out of the telestial schools and bring them home, and since it's all we know and all we've experienced, to pursue telestial education at home. Yes?
I'm sure that you'll get to this, but not that there's anything wrong with getting gain, because we want to be able to provide well for our family.
Yes, I will get to that. Thank you. And if I don't, please remind me, because I do want to get to that. So, but you know, blah, I'm a little pregnant right now. Okay, terrestrial education is the next one, I believe. Terrestrial. I failed handwriting. I apologize. I should have someone else come and do this. Okay, this is educating our children by the light of the moon. Now, let me say about terrestrial education. We are used to telestial. That's how we were raised. That's what we grew up in. So when we discover terrestrial, at least for me, it's like, oh my gosh, this is so bright. I can't imagine it. This is so cool. I had no idea that I could do this. We are so amazed by what we found that we can barely believe we don't even realize that it could still possibly be dim. Terrestrial education, I think the purpose behind it is to be learned, to have knowledge, to be wise. It is great education. If you look at the definition of the terrestrial kingdom, it is those who are noble and great, but who were not valiant in the testimony of Jesus Christ. They did not have the fullness of gospel principles and ordinances. So terrestrial education is fabulous education that is not valiant in the testimony of Jesus Christ. It doesn't quite get up to being wrapped in the context of eternal principles and eternal truths. This is great. Most of the educational philosophies that I have read and followed and found, I think the thing that wasn't quite right about them is they were terrestrial. And I thought, as I've discovered these things, I thought how interesting it is that we look to models and to thinkers who had less light and truth than we have. And we take them as our experts and our models to pursue education that they had when we have higher privileges and higher teachings if we will only seek them out. We also have the gift of the Holy Ghost to teach us as a constant companion to influence how we do it. So we need to be careful of terrestrial education, even though it seems great. I find it interesting that God had to choose Joseph Smith. There were a lot of much better educated people. God had to choose somebody raw who had almost no education so that he was easily influenced by the Spirit. Often our education, even good education, can become an obstacle, can become a barrier because we learn to rely on ourselves and our own learning and our own wisdom. 2 Nephi 9, 28 and 29, I should have it memorized. I almost do. Describes it well, but it says, when they are learned, I'm sorry? 2 Nephi 9, 28 and 29, and also verse 42 is a great one. It's when they are learned, they think they are wise, and they hearken not to the counsels of God, and their learning profiteth them nothing. Now, that's really easy to think, oh, that's talking about the secular humanists and the atheists and all of those people. But it's also talking about us when we are slow to listen to the Spirit because we're so busy studying it out for ourselves, or we're so busy following our own wisdom and our own knowledge. And I find this common in my life. I have to fight against this because I think that I am mostly a product of celestial and terrestrial education until my adult years. Okay, so let's see. Let me just go on a little tangent here with terrestrial education. Here's an example of it. Terrestrial education, we're all about developing talents. In this, you know, like I have a neighbor and she's my only homeschooling neighbor and her kids stay home so they can practice the piano 8 hours a day. The first two are already at Juilliard. The rest of them, including her four-year-olds, are on their way there. I think that's great. But it made me realize that with our talents, they can really become, in terrestrial education, a source of pride for us. Look how great you are. Look, and our kids, you know, I hate to admit so much. I'm really not a bad person, but, you know, I know from my own talents, I used to think, oh, I'm good. Oh, I'm a lot better than these other people. Oh, you know? And I think that a better approach to talents, maybe a celestial approach, when we see our children succeeding at something and having a talent, to talk to them and say, oh, my goodness, God, your Heavenly Father must really love you and trust you because he could have given that talent to anybody. And he gave it to you because he trusted you and he knew that you would develop it and you would use it to serve and to build his kingdom. Are you aware of what a privilege that is? So instead of being a source of pride, their talents become a source of humility and incredible responsibility and gratitude to God. And I think that that's one of the important differences in how we focus, how we approach education. Okay, let's see. So, again, we're pulling our children out of celestial education to pursue terrestrial education. There still, I believe, is something higher. So what is it that we're going for here? Let me erase these because, obviously, the last one's obvious. We're going to talk about celestial education. Now, I have to say, I believe that this is still somewhat an embryo, and I hope that all of you have tons of insights and tons of more information and will email me about it so we can continue growing because I think there's so much to discover till we truly have the kind of education God would have us use. But celestial education. Okay. It is focused on celestial principles. So we're going to go ahead and start with I believe there's a general breakdown. We'll talk some about the methods of celestial education. Now, I don't have time, I wish I did, to go through all of the scriptures, because this has all come from the scriptures and from gospel principles, but we just have to rush through it. So hopefully someday there will be at least a packet, if not a book, that will describe this more, but we'll just go through it quickly. I believe that there are levels and phases in celestial education. The first is the years 0 to 8. I call these the Satan-free years, because we are told that Satan cannot tempt our children in these ages for the purpose that great things may be required of their fathers. What we are doing in these years is building the foundation. Okay. A couple of things about these years. Satan cannot tempt them, but he can influence them. Their environment is critical. Children, there's always been this ongoing conflict. Is man naturally good or is man naturally bad? The age-old Calvinist or the, you know, whatever the other is. But we know through restored knowledge that children are born innocent, and they must be taught good or evil, and then they have the free agency to choose. So our children in the Satan-free years, Satan can't tempt them. So we're crazy when we introduce them to his influence through their environments, the media, it's so difficult to keep our children shielded, but it's so important in these years because we decide what influences them. Satan does not have direct access to them. Parents are responsible to teach in this age. This is all about mom. In fact, in the foundation years, the children do not have the gift of the Holy Ghost. Now, they can feel the Holy Ghost when it's present because of their environment, but they do not have that as a companion. Their mother acts as the Holy Ghost. Think about it. The mother teaches, comforts, counsels, protects, testifies of truth, warns. What other things does the Holy Ghost do? The capacity of the Holy Ghost is filled by the mother in that age. I can't remember verse and chapter and verse, but Isaiah, God will gently lead those who are with young. We are given extra blessings, extra inspiration. Moms have the package to do foundation. We're just natural experts at foundation usually. This is the time. What is necessary, I guess you could say, what is required in these years is to build the foundation. The children need to learn the gospel basics. I won't write it all down. They need to learn the gospel basics. They need to learn that they are a child of God and that God loves them. They need to learn the plan of salvation. They learn the scripture stories. They learn the articles of faith. They learn and experience love, kindness, service, prayer. They begin to learn to choose the right. Those like kinds of things is what's required. Everything in this phase, everything in celestial education, but in particular in this phase, needs to serve an eternal purpose and be in an eternal context. Because if we begin to, a lot of times what we do is we have great education, either celestial or terrestrial education, with gospel on the side. So our children and ourselves become compartmentalized. They're, okay, now I'm learning to read, now I'm doing this, now I'm doing this, now I'm doing this, the gospel thing. Well, the gospel is supposed to influence everything we do. God tells us in the scriptures that nothing is temporal. He's never given us a temporal law, and there is no temporal truth. Everything is eternal. So what our job, and I think that we used to know this just because of the traditions of our fathers and the whole separation of church and state and everything else, we've lost that connection. So when our children are learning to read, it's because they need to learn to read. And, you know, again, it's not a forced thing. The spirit in our home is the most important thing. But as our children are interested and as we're reading to them, they're going to learn to read, because when they know how to read, they can on their own be obedient to the counsel of the prophet and read the scriptures. They can on their own begin to learn the truths and the word of God through the scriptures. They can start studying from the best books, as we've been commanded to do in the scriptures. Everything serves an eternal purpose. It's not learn to read, for celestial reasons or terrestrial reasons. It's for celestial reasons. Same with every single thing we teach. If it doesn't fit into a celestial, an eternal celestial context, then it doesn't belong in the foundation phase. And if you feel it's important, then my suggestion that's worked for me is take it to the Lord and ask Him, is this important? And if it is important, how does it fit into to a celestial context? Because compartmentalization is so dangerous. That's how we end up with kids who can go to church and do this and then go cheat on tests, because it's not the same thing. It's different. And it's not different. We are celestial beings in everything that we do. Okay, let's see. Okay, let me say right here. A lot of people argue we need to start, like I know the educators argue, and I think a lot of we get this mentality, we need to start earlier than this with the academics or with the school or whatever it is, because they're malleable. They're, you know, by 8, they're a little more set. Well, my argument is God understands child development better than any of us do, and He knows that. That's why He built it this way, so they can be molded in His principles, in His image, and the world can't enter in yet. So we need to take advantage of the fact that they are malleable at this time and protect them and shield them and keep them with mom. One way that I know that they need to be with mom, tell me if you've heard this discussion. Okay, I've heard this so many times, I know you all have. All of the moms are talking, it's around the first week of school, and they're just, oh, it was so hard, I saw my little 5-year-old go get on the bus, and oh, I just wanted to reach out and grab him and hold him close. They are so little, but they look so cute in their backpacks. You know, it goes back and forth, all of the moms talking about, and then inevitably, always, sooner or later, an older, more experienced mother comes up, oh, I know just how you feel. I felt the same exact way with my first. But don't worry, it gets easier with each kid. And by the time your youngest goes to school, you'll be jumping up and down. You finally get to go shopping, yes! And I went home from listening to that, and I just, it just came to me. How interesting is it that we completely ignore the Spirit, the promptings of the Spirit, because of the traditions of our fathers, and as we do that, the Spirit loses the ability to talk to us, and we lose the sensitivity. Disobedience leads to a spiritual disconnection. And that's an exact, to me, that is an exact example of it. Our mother, be with your foundation-age children. There's a reason for mommy guilt at daycare. It's God, you know. Hello, keep your kids with you. Okay, another thing that is so important about their environment, children at this age do not have the independent ability to know true from false. They take it on the authority of others. Think of how easy it is to sway a child in this age. They believe whatever we teach them because they love us. And if we let other authority figures in there to sway them, that's very dangerous in this age. They need it to be black and white, true and false, because mom said so. We knew our mothers knew it. Okay, another thing that's a big issue in education is discipline. And I want to really quickly talk about what I believe is the difference between celestial education and the other kinds. We know that a principle of celestial education is free agency, freedom. So a lot of times what we see in education is, I said so, I'm bigger, I can keep you in after school, I can ground you, I can give you a bad grade. It's might is right. And what happens there is when we start to lose the might, when our kids are bigger than we are, we get, so make me. So, you know, you don't have the might anymore. What it is instead, it's common obedience to God. When this came to me, it really changed. I try to never say, because I'm the mom, and I said so. Instead, when my kids are bickering and fighting and they just don't think they should have to get along, we'll open up and read what King Benjamin told the parents. Parents, teach your children to be kind and to love and to serve one another. And I said, it is important. I tell them, it's important to me to obey what God has commanded me to do. And is it important to you to obey what God has commanded you to do? And we work together on obeying God. And so they see that I have an accountability and a responsibility, and that they have one too. And it's not my authority. It's me doing what I'm commanded to do. And they're commanded to honor their father and their mother. They're commanded to love and serve one another. And we work it out that way. I think it's a much better approach to discipline. Okay. Now, the next phase in celestial education, I guess I shouldn't have written that, is the years from about 8 to 12. And I call these the years of the Spirit. This is where we're building spiritual fluency. Okay, it is so sad, but we have so many adults who grow up and are spiritually illiterate. I know that I am an example of that. How many times, I've really worked hard to gain my spiritual fluency, to become better, but how many times do we think, okay, is that just me or is that the Spirit? Okay, how do I get an app? I know there's, you know, we just don't quite get it. We don't quite know how it works. And you find people asking, okay, so how do I study my scriptures? How do I do these different things that are based in spiritual fluency? I believe children are given, they reach the age of accountability and are given the gift of the Holy Ghost at 8 years old for a reason. And too many times, the prophets have told us that is a more valuable gift than all of the riches of the world. And so often we leave it wrapped up and basically unused, and we continue in the foundation. Now, let me say here, these are not levels or phases that you check off and move on. You never go, okay, check, my foundation's strong, now I'm working on spiritual fluency, check, I've got that, now I'm moving on. We don't move on, we add to as our capacity grows. So when we are 8, we continue working on and building up that foundation. We're still learning more about the gospel principles and still gaining a broader base of scriptural awareness. But we are adding the gift of the Holy Ghost to that. So these are the years that what is required of our children, the most important lesson that everything else fits into, is learning to seek, recognize, and obey the Spirit of God, the Holy Ghost. Okay, let's see. Some of the ways that I believe we can accomplish this. First, at 8 years old, I think we often don't realize they're accountable. No longer are their sins upon our heads. They're on their own heads. And that's scary because I think a lot of us would rather have them... No, let their sins be on me. Don't make them. They're so little. But that includes sins of omission. They need to, at these ages, be engaged in personal daily scripture study, in personal daily prayer, doing those things that we have been counseled again and again to do. That also is how they increase their spiritual fluency. I like to think of this this phase as a mini MTC. Think of the things. One of my friends pointed that out to me. She said, that is exactly what happened to me in the MTC. I was totally spiritually illiterate, went to the MTC to gain spiritual fluency. And I thought, I want my kids to learn that before. So the MTC is a good example. What do they do there? They read their scriptures. They pray. They are in environments where the Spirit can dwell. If the children's goal in this phase is to gain spiritual fluency, they can't be in environments where the Spirit can't be with them. So we are, the last phase, the mother acted as the Holy Ghost. In this phase, the parents act as the guardian. Our children are ready to step away from us a little bit, but we are the guardians of the Holy Ghost for them and of them. But one of the ways I think is important to teach them how to gain spiritual fluency is quick obedience to the promptings of the Holy Ghost. Moroni 7, 16 and 17. I don't know if I can look it up, but it tells us that there are two sources that thoughts come from. The Spirit of God leadeth men to do good. The Spirit of the devil leadeth men to do bad. That's very applicable as far as spiritual fluency, because they're not just having thoughts on their own. There's always whispering going on. And if they have that little thought, oh, I should take out the garbage, or oh, I should help my neighbor with that, that's the Holy Ghost prompting them to do good. If they have the thought, oh, I'd really like to hit my brother, that's not the Holy Ghost. That's the other influence. So they need to be taught to quickly obey those promptings for good, because that is how we gain sensitivity. Just like disobedience closes closes our spiritual channels, obedience is like is like fine-tuning the radio channel. As we quickly obey those promptings become stronger, and we gain more and more awareness of how the Holy Ghost speaks to us. I believe some of the assignments in this age are things like recording their spiritual experiences, beginning to seek what things they should study, what things would be beneficial to them. Academics in this age are important, but still only as they fit into an eternal context. God knows all things, and the more things that we know, the more we are like God. But again, we have to avoid compartmentalizing. We have to avoid doing, okay, now you're doing these subjects, and then tonight we'll have family scripture study. You know, it all has to blend in together and shape everything that they do. Okay, one of the important things, and I hope Jewel will forgive me for using a Kimber Academy technique, but is to learn by the Spirit. One great way to do this that I got from Glenn Kimber is you have your children think of a topic and write everything that they can think of that. And then, as soon as they've done as much as they can, have them say a prayer and ask the Spirit to be with them. And then have them continue writing. And it is amazing. And they can start to learn that learning by the Spirit is the highest form. We're told, seek learning by the Spirit, and for those who have not faith, seek learning by the best books. The great books are important, but we really need to be seeking for that highest channel. And if our children are understanding that their goal in this time is spiritual fluency, they will be guarding. They will be guarding their access to the Spirit. They will not want to have those bad influences because, that will pop into my mind and the Spirit can't, I can't sense the Spirit. So I also believe this is a time, I already said, they're ready to start stepping away from Mom. For most of us, that feeling of, I need them close to me, they can't go, starts to go away at about this time. I don't think it's all behaviorally based. I think it's how it was designed to be. This is when the church programs, they begin achievement days, they begin scouts, they begin those things. Our children are ready to branch out and be with other children who are seeking their spiritual fluency. That there's a lot of power with that good peer pressure and children learning from one another and inspiring one another. You can throw tomatoes if you have any. I personally do not believe that homeschooling is the highest method. I believe it's what we have to do today because we don't want celestial education. I do believe that when we get closer to celestial societies, and as I see the inspiration coming down, I think it's in people's hearts, I would guess, that we will sooner rather than later start to see celestial schools being established. For me, a celestial school would not begin till the age of eight, because they need to be with Mom in those foundational years. And it would operate according to celestial principles. Family is first. The teachers, the students, and the parents would all be involved together, praying together to know who that student is, what they need. The school would focus on learning by the Spirit. Those would be the main lessons. So I really am really excited to find those schools, to have them start being established. Yeah. I know. So if anybody, you know, if you're feeling those things in your heart, give me a call. Let me enroll because I think Mom is the natural expert at foundation. We don't need a lot of help. But when we start getting in here, isn't this when we start going, whoa, help, what do I do? It starts getting a little beyond us. And I know we're capable of it. God will give us what we need for our children. But I am so excited looking forward to those celestial institutions that will nurture up our children in these concepts and principles. Okay. I believe the last phase of, not of education, but of education under our stewardship, under their parents' stewardship, this is 12 to adulthood. And these I call the critical years. And you can see why they're called the critical years. I believe the lesson of this is specific mission. Do you ever, on a chalkboard, I forget how to spell. Okay. Specific mission preparation. In Abraham, we learn that there was a council. Abraham saw the noble and great ones, and they were chosen before they were born. There were many noble and great ones. There were not just the prophets. Many among the multitudes of heaven. That means we were there. That means the Latter-day Saints in the last days, we were absolutely there, and our children were there. And I firmly believe that we had hands placed upon our heads and we were foreordained with specific things that we would accomplish in this life based on our diligence and obedience. We were also given the talents, the opportunities, the blessings, everything we would need to be able to accomplish them. And that is what we are seeking insight into in this phase, and that is what we are preparing for. So this is a time of intensive, well, okay, first of all, let me define mission, because I know some people see mission preparation, they're like, well, all of my girls aren't going to go on missions. Well, a mission is, in this definition, is not a one-time event. It is not one thing. A mission is, it is the full potential of a life dedicated to God and his service. It is what God saw us and saw us in the pre-existence and said, you can do this to serve me. That's what a mission is. And a mission, accomplishing a mission in this life is what leads to eternal joy. There is no joy like a life dedicated to God, fulfilling our mission. Even though it's really scary sometimes and not very easy sometimes, it's very important. So this is a time when our children are doing, oh, Marker, don't go out. This is a time for intensive seeking. And that involves searching, pondering, and praying, studying, ponder, and pray. I find it so interesting how aware Satan is of God's plan as I find these things, how important pondering is. And if you look at what we do to our youth in the world, they are so busy. They are running. They're running 100 miles an hour. And they don't have time to read their scriptures. They've got to study for their calculus test. And they don't have time to ponder. They've got football practice. I mean, whatever the things are. And then I hear people say, well, we've got to keep them busy or they'll get into trouble. Oh, my goodness. If every single time, think of these years. These are the years when they receive their patriarchal blessing. This is when God is telling them who they are. These are the years when Nephi went out to ponder the words of his father, and he was given vision after vision after vision as he sat pondering. He was shown that he would be the father of nations, that he would, all of the great things that he would accomplish. These are the years when Joseph Smith saw God the Father and Jesus Christ and was told that he had a great work to do and to begin to prepare. These are the years, yes, our children are selfish in this age, but God designed it that way. That's not a bad thing. They are their own stewardship. They have no other stewardship in this age. They are supposed to be working on themselves. They have tons of energy in this age. That's good. They have a lot to do. They are thinking like crazy in this age and wanting, you know, sometimes you feel like, just stop arguing with me and accept what I'm telling you. But their brains are on fire, and they are learning, learning, learning. God created teenagers for a purpose. And so often we misdirect what they're doing that we think it's, this terrible time. It's a wonderful time. If you look at youth, Nephi was a youth when he went back to Jerusalem. And he knew his scripture stories. He had that foundation. He knew that God loved him and had a plan for him. He was spiritually fluent. He never had to sit there and think, okay, am I really supposed to cut off Laban's head, or is that just me? What is the Spirit telling? You know, he recognized. He was in tune, and he had that fluency. We can have that. Our children can have that. It is not an out-there ideal. We can't have it with one foot in the kingdom and one foot in the world. That's what's holding us back. We're wasting our time fuddling around with this celestial education, trying to meet celestial purposes. If we really prayerfully devote ourselves to celestial education, we will raise up a generation of people capable of living a celestial life. Yes? It's a help. It's a help. I think sometimes you can have issues with... Seminary is great, but I... I shouldn't say anything. I think that we're living, we've had to bring it down so that all of the people that are telestial can, I mean, so that it fits in with the telestial education. I think that not everybody's ready to accept these things yet. But, okay, so intensive seeking. Another thing they're doing is intensive study. And intensive study in the things that their teacher, their parents, and they feel prayerfully led to through the Spirit that is critical to their mission. One of the most interesting things I heard, C.S. Lewis is one, and he said, we require our children to do too many things before they reach adulthood, and all we do is teach them mediocrity. Children cannot do more than a very few things very well, and when we make them do everything, we spoil their, we spoil for life their what they'll accept as greatness. He also said that if Oxford, at the time that he applied, had the same math requirements, he would never have gotten in, and we would have lost that great mind because he was required to do other things. He was sent here to do other things. This is not an excuse for the path of least resistance. This is not so our children can say, oh, I hate math. That is not part of my mission. It's not that at all. This is the Spirit teaching us. And very often, the things that are hardest for them are the things that are most critical. God gives us weaknesses that we can be humble and that our weaknesses can be strengths unto us. We must be led by the Spirit in making these decisions. But at the same time, in our being led by the Spirit, we can't hamper their great strengths and the things that God sent them to do because we want them to be, we want them to be able to do everything. I think that's an important thing to realize. This is also, celestial education is absolutely not an excuse for academic or intellectual mediocrity. The prophets, our Latter-day prophets have prophesied that you wait and see. You will see the day when Latter-day Saints are at the top of every field of learning. But that can't happen as long as we're not taking advantage of the fullness of the truth that we know. We need to really take advantage of the Holy Ghost, of priesthood power, of all of those things, so that we can achieve those things the prophets have told us. This is a way to become greater in our wisdom and learning, but not the wisdom and learning of the world. Okay. Elder Nelson is a good example of this. He was taught by the Spirit some great procedures for heart. He's a heart surgeon, and the Spirit led him to new procedures and things that have saved lives. Okay, another thing they do in this time, they develop talents. Again, they're their own stewards. They have time for this. A lot of us know when you have 5 kids and try to take up the piano, it doesn't work quite as well. This is the time for them to dedicate to that. Another thing that's important in this phase is overcoming weaknesses. In our youth, our characters are not so firmly set as they are in adulthood. And also, we don't have the negative consequences of our weaknesses yet. We don't have children or a spouse that have to suffer because of the things that we didn't get good at yet. This is really the time that I wish I had learned to keep a house clean so I didn't have to do it with a husband and 2 little kids. This is the time that we really work on becoming the people we need to be to serve God. Another thing that I think is critical in this phase is great groups. You can see what's happening at the convention here with the youth. Children, youth need other youth. They are just wired that way. That really, it's just amazing, that synergy, that growth and energy that comes. When you get a group of youth together who are all working independently, seeking their mission, seeking spiritual influence to know what they should do, and they're discussing it, oh my gosh, the Spirit about bowls you over. It is powerful. There is energy there. This is great. We need to be seeking to establish great groups for our children. This is also why I believe, won't celestial schools for this age be awesome? I can't wait to be able to send my kids to something like this. Okay, still remember, all learning is eternally based. They are learning these things to accomplish their mission to serve God. It is not separated out. And Let's see. Okay. So I want to talk just a little bit about, we listed some of the methods and principles of telestial education and terrestrial. And again, I won't have time to list these, but some of the methods of celestial education, the spirit, that is probably number one. Another is love unfeigned, love. Free agency. We need to teach by example. That's all throughout the scriptures. The greatest teacher was the Savior because he was the greatest. Again, common obedience to God for discipline. Another thing that is hugely important is humility. I don't have time to read it, but Doctrine and Covenants 136, 32, and 33 teaches us that as we humble ourselves, we're given more knowledge. And that is the first step. We learn line upon line, precept on precept. We're given something. As we are obedient to it and continue to be humble, we're given more. And as we're obedient, we're given more. That works in academics too, because nothing is temporal. It's all spiritual. So as it's tied in to eternal principles, it all works that same way. Now, we all know the scripture, the glory of God is intelligence. If one man attains more, it's so much the better for them. That is not talking about trivial temporal teaching. That's not talking about spelling bees and math quizzes. And not that those things are bad, but the glory of God that is intelligence is what we gain through celestial education. It is learning those eternal truths. And God knows more than any man about science, about the workings of the earth, about all of these things. And I would argue that Joseph Smith knows. You know, he was taught by the Spirit the mysteries of the world. Those are the things, and we will gain more and more understanding. The Spirit is a teacher of all things. Okay, some of the outcomes. We said that you can identify these also by the outcomes. So let's just go over some of the outcomes of celestial versus terrestrial or telestial education. Now, let's think of celestial laws that we will be required to live. One is the one that our pioneer forebears failed, sadly, is the law of consecration, the United Order. So I've kind of had that in mind, thinking of these things. How do we raise up a generation and teach them so that that's not a difficult transition? Because as much as we admire and love the pioneers, as great as they were and the sacrifices they made, we need to be a whole lot better than they were, because we cannot fail to establish Zion again. So some of the outcomes of celestial education. Humility instead of pride. As they are taught their talents in that way and all of the things that they are given, they recognize that they are gifts from God that they need to develop in order to serve him. Another one is cooperation. I'm just going to say this because we're running out of time. Cooperation versus competition. As our children and ourselves recognize that we have a mission and we're working to accomplish it, we also recognize that those other people all have missions that they're working to accomplish too, and we all have the same goal of serving God. So instead of trying to compete with each other, we will try to help and cooperate with one another. That's a big change that I believe we need to make, because we're always told we live in a competitive world and our kids need to be better than everyone else so they can be competitive. And we start teaching that at a young age. I think it's the wrong lesson. Another one is service versus earning. So back to they need to provide for a family. That is very true. I think a better way to look at it, rather than preparing them to provide, is preparing them to contribute. Because everybody does need to be able to contribute. And if we teach them to contribute, that applies to both a celestial and a telestial society. And it will be more in line with their eternal destiny and with their foreordained mission on this earth. There are lots and lots of ways to make money that don't contribute. Am I right? There are lots of ways. And, you know, you don't want to offend anybody, but look at our media. Look at our entertainment. Look at all of the things that are happening. And America in general now is so concerned with making money that contribution barely even matters. And it's not usually what we think about. So if we think about contribution, then you start studying what does God want you to bring to this earth. And that almost always, if you have a person who is honest, who is led by the Spirit, who is a hard worker and who is accomplishing what God sent them to do, they will not have a problem providing as God wanted them to. It was not part of Joseph Smith's mission to provide for his family. It was his mission to bring forth the fullness of the gospel. So we need to make sure that the mission and the contribution has the highest priority. Also, it's important to remember, providing for a family does not mean attaining riches. A lot of times we think, when we think of providing for a family, we want more and more and more and more. And I know, you know, it's hard to keep our husbands from feeling like they need more and more and more. But providing for a family is making it possible for a mother to stay home with her children, if possible. And, nurture, you know, they need food, they need shoes, they need love. They don't need to fly to Disneyland every year. And they don't need a 5,000 square foot home. Okay, another thing I think is charity versus greed. Is another difference of celestial versus telestial education, all based on the goals that we establish from childhood. And then compassion versus judgment. As our children recognize, they're so much closer to the Spirit and to the Savior, and they recognize that what they've been given are gifts from God, then they're not nearly so likely to judge others and demand that others have the same talents that they have. Another that I think is critical for us today is faith versus fear. I think that applies to all of us as parents seeking to educate our children. Do we have faith that God's teachings and God, the words of God that He has given us, do we have faith that following that will bring us the greatest joy, or do we fear that they won't fit in to the telestial world? We need to go back and educate in the telestially. Just, I know this all sounds good, but I'm too scared to take that leap. Okay, just in conclusion, I truly believe that a student educated in this way, and again, I love the quote, we cannot teach what we do not have. We can't help but teach what we are. As we take our children through this education, we can't help but take ourselves through it too. And I firmly believe that as we teach celestial education, we will raise up a generation unto the Lord. We will raise up children capable of living celestial laws. A lot of times we think of that as an eternal goal. We have eternity to become celestial beings. But we have two examples, at least, in the scriptures. The city of Enoch, the Zion after in 3 Nephi and Helaman. Guess what? There were 14-year-olds in the city of Enoch. There were 16-year-olds. It was not this long-term goal. It was 2 feet firmly established in Zion. It was full devotion to God. They were fully seeking the kingdom of God. So as soon as we really start studying these principles, start studying the scriptures and learning what things we need to apply to our celestial educating in our home, in a very short time, if we stop letting the world defeat us, we can raise up a celestial generation. And I really, truly believe that God is just waiting on us. He's waiting on us to become a people capable of living in Zion, living according to celestial laws, so that He can get again return to us. And that is what I hope we will all seek. I say these things in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
LDS Home Educators is a nonprofit, all-volunteer organization dedicated to providing inspiration to homeschool families. We hope you enjoyed this recording. If you are interested in listening to more recordings or would like to participate in a future conference, please visit our website at ldshe.org.